This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
I'm going to introduce the first speaker, John Roberts. You all know John. John is professor of surgery and the director of the transplant program at UCSF, and John has been a great leader and mentor for all of us for many years, and he has a very busy year this year being the president of UNOS as well. So he's being charged to talk about the disease, donor, and also life donor liver transplant program at UCSF. John.
Well, thank you, Francis, and I just want you all to know that, you know, Francis and Rio and along with Peggy Millar do so much work to make this conference a success. I think it's important that we thank him. So I just wanted to give you an overview of the UCSF liver transplant, just sort of, you know, some of the information that we pass on to you guys each year. The last year we moved off a little bit onto the talking about alcoholic hepatitis, which is still an issue we can talk about at some other time. So we did our first liver transplant at UCSF in 1988. We've gotten close to 3,000 transplants now. I've done well over 200 live donor transplants, 300 pediatric transplants, with 82 of those being live donors. So we've continued to be pretty busy. It takes a village, and these are the staff that it takes to get all those patients taken care of. We have added a transplant hepatologist, which has been a really important part of, you know, our ability to take care of the patients. And Francis mentioned to you the new folks that we've added to the hepatology team. Beth Callenborn is our new manager for liver transplant. Wait, lift your hand up there, Beth. There she is. Hard to see you guys in the lights. We're still working with the four pre-transplant coordinators, one inpatient transplanter coordinator. We have two inpatient nurse practitioners, and that's we just added another one to that repertoire there. We have the post-transplant nurse practitioners and pediatric nurse practitioner, social workers, and a living donor advocate. Nora will talk to you about the hepatitis C program. We have a PA working with our hepatitis C program in terms of helping us with the management of those patients. So our pre-transplant evaluation, we try to do these primarily as outpatients for those people that are relatively stable. We can have people admitted and do relatively rapid inpatient evaluations, such as a patient with fulminant hepatic failure. We reserve our living donor evaluations until after the recipient workups complete, or that, you know, it's very clear that they can be listed for transplantation. In terms of the transplant stay itself, we have a dedicated operating room team and anesthesia team, and I really think our success has been related in a large part to having, you know, a group of people, both the hepatologists, the nursing staff, and then the OR and anesthesia team that all are dedicated to taking care of the liver transplant patients. Generally, they stay 24 to 48 hours. The ICU, we have a dedicated transplant nursing floor that takes care of both the liver transplant and kidney transplant patients, along with the pancreas transplant. So that having that group of nurses really helps us also. And then you've heard about the surgeons and the hepatologists. We have a dedicated pharmacy staff of really transplant pharmacists. We have dietitians and the transplant social workers. Those are our median time to discharge for the patients who received either the deceased donor transplants or the living donor transplants. I hit the wrong button, sorry. So post-transplant, the patients are transitioned to a post-transplant coordinator, nurse practitioner at the time of discharge. They're seen in our designated liver clinics, usually on Tuesdays and now Thursdays, and we have a computerized system to track both the patient's labs and meds. So these are our sort of volumes in terms of both living and adult donor transplants. You can see, you know, it sort of goes up and down every year, but we're sort of between 120 and 140 transplants a year. Our pediatric transplants are going about 15 a year. These are our results. You can see that our adult and patient graft survival are better than expected. Our graft survival remains statistically better than expected, and we have good both pediatric patient and graft survivals. So we have about, at UCSF, about 91% of our patients who are transplanted have grafts that are functioning a year after transplant, compared to the 87.15% that would be expected based on the characteristics of these patients, and this difference is statistically significant. And this is just showing you our adult graft survival at both 1 year and 3 year, and you can see that even at 3 years, our patients are still doing much better than expected. So it's really a long-term approach to these patients that allowed for good survival. And then again, you can see the long-term patient survival is also quite good in this population. In terms of pediatric transplant, as you know, we have a Benioff Children's Hospital where the pediatric service is going to be relocating down to Mission Bay, where the new hospital is. We do a lot of research in pediatric liver transplant, including acute liver failure, the SPLIT study, which is an overall study of pediatric liver transplant multi-center, physical fitness, looking at NASH in the pediatric population, which many of you know is sort of becoming a big problem in both the adult and the pediatric population. Sandy Fang has done a very nice study looking at immunosuppressive withdrawal in the pediatric patients, and we've found sort of what patients were able to withdraw immunosuppression on. Hepatitis C, we're part of the Biliary Atresia Research Consortium, and then looking at oral health outcomes. So in terms of the living donor transplant, we've done over 200 of these now. The first adult-to-adult transplant was in 1992. That was during when we were doing pediatric transplants, and we decided to try to do an adult from a son to a mother. It failed because of small for size syndrome, which we didn't recognize what that was at that time, and now we have a pretty good handle on that. We're doing adult-to-adult with either right or left lobes. Currently, most of those are with left lobes because they're safer for the donor. Our total number of pediatric and adult liver transplants are 234, and those have been 186 since 2000. The top five diagnoses are sort of look like what our regular transplant population is. The highest percentages for people with hepatitis C, and biliary atresia is the most common diagnosis in the pediatric population. And then you can see the other diagnoses that we have commonly do living donor transplants for. In terms of our adult living donor outcomes, you can see that they're quite good and on par with our deceased donor transplants. So we've been doing fairly well in that in terms of outcomes for our living donor transplants. Length of stay is a little bit longer for the recipients. You know, it's a they get a portion of a graft rather than a whole liver, so they struggle for a little bit longer period of time. It's been clear based on the A2ALL study, which is the adult-to-adult liver transplant study, 9 centers in the United States, that you cut your risk of mortality while on the waiting list by about half if you have a living donor rather than having to wait for a deceased donor transplant. So it really makes a survival benefit to patients who have a living donor. Many people don't, but if you do, your chances of being alive are improved. So in summary, I think we can do our living donor operation with a low complication rate in the donor. We've got excellent patient and graft survivals. We do need to improve the recipient complication rate, but it's been gradually getting better over time. The primary complication is biliary tract complications, occur about twice as commonly as with cadaver or deceased donor transplants, and that's sort of where most of the world now is with their biliary tract complications. In terms of research, we talked about the adult-to-adult living donor study. That's Chris Fries is the PI on that. We're looking at sort of three different portions of that. One of the interesting things is looking at the prospective study, looking at living donor outcomes and recipient outcomes, and then we have this genes related to HCC progression in liver transplant recipients. We have a intestinal rehab and transplant program. It's really a multidisciplinary team, and what we found is that we can really help a lot of these people get off TPN just by helping them with their intestinal rehabilitation. I think that's been a very gratifying program for us, and that's run by Sue Ri, Sangmo Kang, and Claudia Preglins is the nurse practitioner, has really done a great job with that. And these are all the services that we can help with your patients who do have short gut. And I think we've really been able to get quite a few of these rehabilitated and either off TPN or just with partial TPN. And that's how you get a hold of us. Okay, thank you very much. Can I answer any questions? None? Okay. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.